Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 5 in the FEMA region and the FEMA Corporation of America. So just want to thank you all for being a part of today's show. Today is October the 31st, 2017. It is a Tuesday. We have a live show for you all today, and we definitely want to get involved into today's show. But before we do that, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You could easily do that by going to the website for Black Talk Radio Network. And once you are there, you will go to the homepage and then give a donation from the prompting of the donation prompt that is there, so that you can support the network and to make sure that it is on every day and bringing you the information that you have deemed as being necessary and relevant. So, very, very important. Just want to thank you all for doing that. All of you that have donating major donations and making your donations, I will be doing mine. And already wrote myself a note to do that. And today's the 31st, so right after today's show, I will be doing another donation. And I need to increase my overall donation that I give. And I set it for one thing, thinking it was something else, and I kept in meaning to change it, so we need to do that. So, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, because that is how this network is able to stay viable, stay on air. Also, if you would like to support the network, another way that you could do that is being a part of its social media outlet known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media outlet for you to engage in all of your social media activities without using the mainstream sites such as FedBook, you know, that's Facebook, Telen, and that's Twitter, and everything else. You can easily do it right here through a membership. And in that membership, it allows you to do what? You can have a more secure communication than you otherwise would have. Many people think that FedBook is free. Is not free. You pay for it, and you pay for it dearly. And that price is not given to you in a bill, but it is always due, and you can't default on it. We've defaulted on it by engaging in it. And so I think it's very, very important. And it is one of those institutions that is really, to me, is undefendable. And I say that it's undefendable because, in my eyes, that's just my opinion, and it is completely undefendable because it serves no real good. It's like many other things. We'll make excuses for what it is, but we make those excuses outside of or we'll accept those because it's what we want to do, which is perfectly fine. Whatever it is that you want to do is fine. And you know, within your overall free will means. But there is a price to pay, and it is a actual retribution and a ramifications of engaging in that that is extremely, very, very strong. And many will ignore that in order because of the pleasure that they have with it all. FedBook is actually you facilitating the plantation in so many ways, as we all do in different ways, but we need to really grow out of different things. I need to, you need to. And I would say, you know, Harriet Tubman had it correct. I would have freed thousands of more slaves if only they had knew that they were slaves. And we may think that we are one thing, but in actuality, are we really? But see, if you know that, you can be striving and you can be making the necessary changes to get to that overall position. But it's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to anyone else outside of you. You do what is whatever it is that you would like to do. But one thing that has to happen is that you have to accept the ramifications that go along with it. You can't cry, pout, or be upset about different things when they don't go the way that you wanted them to go, because maybe we didn't think the whole thing through and we didn't even realize that we were facilitating the very thing that we so-called hate happening. And it could be is because we don't mind it happening to others as long as it doesn't happen to us. So very, very important. And I'm going to tell you, that institution is one that facilitates that. And I don't engage in that. I don't post there anymore. I'm not there anymore. But, you know, everyone has their reasons for where they are. But for me, didn't want to do it because it's not in the best interest of myself nor my overall people that I care about. One, they ask you, do you know this person and that person? They want you to tell all on them. Tell everything you know. Give up your phone list so that we can have everybody in your phone. But the people in your phone, they're not... that, you know, they're asking that individual. And what it is that, see, they give you ownership over some things, and then you could do it as you please. You know, someone, when you ask for someone's phone number, they didn't mean to give you the phone number to give out to anybody else unless they told you it was okay to do it. There's a responsibility that we should be having. Case in point, I sent out a group text, and I hated doing that because I knew the group text, they wouldn't know it was actually me because how it's all set up, and people were upset. But once they found it was me, they were like, oh, why didn't you say it was you? Well, let's, you know, the system don't, you know, so, but because those individuals didn't mean for me, you know, for a group text to be set out that way, but I didn't know that that's how the group text was. As soon as I didn't know that that's how it worked, I was off of that. Oh, no, can't do that no more. So, you know, it's a consequence, and this system has been really, really diligent. It's been really diligent in assuring that the poison tastes good. It has made it to where the poison is always sweet, and because of that, everything that we really consume food wise is that we're not feeding our bodies, we're feeding an addiction. We're feeding an addiction. And because of that, that's why we have such an addiction to white sugar. And because that's what our body is now addicted to. And we need to break ourselves not only of that, but of all of the other artificial and poison sweeteners in our lives. You'll be all right. You could do it. You know, but it's up to you. I know that it was, you know, beneficial to me, and, you know, we have a private business that, you know, that platform could bring more exposure. No. I said no. No, won't do it. Won't do it because it's not that important for me to achieve by that means. And so, just for me, that's my decision, but that doesn't mean that that has to be your decision. That was the decision that was made by me because that was what was important to me. And so, I don't complain about much. I don't complain about some. You know, one of the things that we're going to get into the show, but one of the things that I appreciate about my mom so much, my mom, one of the things that my mom has always stressed with me is that before you start saying what someone else has done or what someone else is doing, what's your role in it all? And it causes you to think. And it causes you, and very easily we can find fault in other things, but we won't really take a really critical look at ourselves and what are we creating for that to happen. And so I really, really, really do appreciate. Thanks, Ma. Love you so, so much for the great, great person that you are in what you want all of your children, how you wanted them to resonate. Great responsibility. Appreciate it. So I didn't mean to get off into that rant, but BTR community is in a way that you can have a membership and still engage in all of your social media. Is it perfect? No. Is it better than the overall Fed book and everything else? Absolutely. One, it won't sell your identity to any bidder. And the overall, it's a membership. Can the information actually be harvested off of it? Of course it can. Of course it can. The likelihood of it being done is much, much less. Much, much less. And one of the good things about it is it doesn't have the things that really, really prevent us from progressing. And I say that because of this reason. We always, and I'm not talking about us as just as a community, I'm talking about us as a human species. We always complain about something that's wrong. But directly and indirectly, we're giving energy to what we're complaining about. So until we change our energy, it is going to, that shows the power of your energy. Oh man, hope I didn't. That shows the true power of your energy. So just wanted to say that before we get into today's show. So come on, be a part of BTR community. $24 a year will get you membership inside of BTR community where you can engage in all of your social media activities that you otherwise would do in other places. And I think it's very, very important. One second. You know, I can't do two things at one time. I'm sorry, y'all. Can't do two things at one time. So that's the bad thing. Okay, so I think it's very, very important for us to take as much control of our energy as we possibly can. Man, it may do us a lot of good. It will change a lot of things for us individually, family-wise, and collectively. Very, very important, I think. All right, so, hey, come Dave, on, $24 a year is all it takes for BTR community. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Okay, I don't know if people are aware, but Google, Facebook, and Twitter corporate officers and lawyers were testifying to Congress and talking about the Russians interfered, meddled, whatever adjective you want to use to suggest that Donald Trump is president because the Russians, by spending $100,000 on social media ads, it's the reason that Donald Trump won and Hillary Clinton lost. Hillary Clinton lost because she lost the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. Donald Trump, and all these super PACs spent billions of dollars combined on ads. And so for them to expect you to believe that some $100,000 worth of ads influenced millions of people to vote either way, then, I mean, that's just really, that's not being a critical thinker. You know, it's not.
No.
And you're not seeing the alternative reason for this. This is because they want to consolidate the control and the flow of information. Okay? That's what they want to do. The internet, in its short life, you know, has provided means for people to get information and have conversations about the issues of the day globally, in this country, in your city, wherever.
Instantly.
Yeah, and allow you to have those conversations outside of the mainstream narrative. And so what they mad about is that they didn't spend all this money to control people's minds, and it didn't go off as planned. And so they want to blame it on the Russians. That's just, you know, it's just crazy. So, like I mentioned last week, I shared an article where Facebook in several different markets, because, you know, they have Facebook for African country, for Asian country. You know, they do it by country. And so they're testing in some of these markets to where the people who, let's say, have a news platform, and I'm writing news articles or what's just whatever your favorite news media platform is, and it's not MSNBC or it's not, you know, one of the ABC boys. And so
Cerebrally Naive Network.
Right. And so these people create pages on Facebook to push their articles out to a wider audience. Alternative media has really grown its audience through Facebook and Twitter by sending out links to those ads that they're publishing. So now Facebook,
PTR community.
Yeah. So now Facebook wants to charge people who run pages in order to get views. Okay. And I'm not paying Facebook for no views. Either they come organically or they ain't coming at all.
Yep.
Okay. That's what I'm on there to share information. You know, and try to get people to come over to where we are, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to control your mind by controlling the media that you have access to. So I just think it's very important.
Scotty? Yeah. You know, Scotty, and I'm glad you interjected on that, because of this. This is the net neutrality issue right here. Because what they're doing is they're laying the platform for more control, more fixing the media outlet, more. They're establishing what? Regulations. And this is what the whole setup, this whole thing is, and this is, you know, we should be using these platforms for what they should be used for, to convey and to move in a different direction.
You use the correct word.
That's just my opinion.
You use the correct word. It is a setup.
Yep. It's all a setup. It's all a setup for regulation. The media is there to tell you what to think. Berninsky's daughter said that on whatever channel she's on. She said, we played it. Our job is to tell you what to think. They brutally tell you. So that's the whole setup there. And listen, BTR community, you can engage in your social media activities without being adversely affected, or as adversely affected. What I mean by that? Likelihood of some employer that you're applying for, they're not going to become a member of BTR community and chase you down to here. But on Facebook, they just put your name in. They done seen everything that you posted. They done seen what other people have put on your post, even on your page, you know, and everything else. What does it do? It's a dequalifier, and it may not be a representation of who you really are. Then you're telling everything about you. Everything. Then it goes into the overall pleasure of gossip. The pleasure of gossip is very, very critical. Very, very critical to controlling the people into doing something, giving their energy in a non-productive way. Because if you're giving your energy in a non-productive way, the power of your energy is not being leveraged to your advantage. It's sinking you. It's sinking you. It's like quicksand. And it's like quicksand, and you're running all over the place. And it's just making you go down further and further and faster. So very, very important. So come on over to BTR Community. Also, if you would like to engage in acquiring some of the some real money and to save as a king or queen or save as a lady and a gentleman and not to save as a slave, you can acquire real money, and that being in the form of what the great creator has given us as a species. See, life is critical. Most people don't know that silver and gold is a living entity. That's why it's so valuable. It's actually a living entity. This is why within the silver and gold realm, you'll see them hint at different things, but they don't want to completely educate you on it. This is what I try to do via our precious metals class. They say silver and gold species. Well, hold on. Think about that for a minute. The animal species. What species of animal is that? The human species. The precious metals is known as a species. Why? Because it's a living entity. Many think, you know, if the system doesn't want you to know certain things, it wants you to be naive and think you know certain things about it. It doesn't want you to become educated, because education is a journey that you take from the overall collective energy that you possess. Case in point, Brother Brad will research and research and research because of the collective energy that's within his body, within his mind, within his how he resonates as a living spiritual entity, as well as you. Very, very important. Most people don't know that silver and gold is a living entity, just like the earth is a living entity, just like you're a living entity. But what the system wants you to do is to place your overall confidence and put into the promise of something that's dead. Hence the word dead president. As Scotty just posted, education makes a man unfit to be a slave, by Frederick Douglass. And education is not something that you can be schooled in. That's schooling. And education is from the process of sustainable patterns that allow you to have sustainability. You ever really wonder why we have no prosperity? It's because we deal in death. We hold our confidence in death, something that is not a species. We don't value each other. We don't value the other living things that can add to our sustainability. Guess what? Without a charge. The trees don't charge you for the oxygen that they give off. The earth doesn't charge you for the filtration of water that it gives you. It doesn't charge you for the wild plants that it grows. See how this works? But see, we're so caught in this overall death cycle that we don't even know that we're the reaper. We don't recognize our overall, how we put our energy into reaping. The grim reaper. We become our biggest obstacle. Not someone else. We become our biggest obstacle. So come on over to Prosperity Mint. Get the living entity that can actually bring about sustainability for your overall, for yourself and your family going forward, because it's a living entity and it has, you know, it's real money, just like your money, because you're a living entity. Most people don't know that silver and gold is a living species. If it wasn't a living species, it wouldn't be able to do what it does. The intrinsic value that it has, it would not have. cash has no intrinsic value because it's dead. And we keep trying to give medicine to the dead. Come on, y'all. So check out that. Next thing. Also, hey, we have some, make sure that you please also give some of your financial energy to the Houston Hurricane Relief Fund that Black Rose is doing. My man, Michael Emmanuel, please give what you can to him, and that's listed also on the homepage for Black Talk Radio Network. Also, if you would like to engage in the crowdfunding opportunity, definitely text me and give me a call, 951-790-8330. It is up and running. I've been trying to help out some people getting situated with it and getting themselves, because it's completely new how it works. It pays off of Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the overall engagement and the initial cash investment that you'll need to do would be $50 worth of Bitcoin. And if you wanted to upgrade that from, you still have to do the $50 worth of Bitcoin, then you can upgrade to another package that will take a tenth of a Bitcoin, and the payouts are absolutely phenomenal. The system is just starting. So if you would like to engage in that, give me a call. Also, I did a recording about the overall payout and how it works. So if you are interested in that, you want to know about that, definitely give me a call. 951-790-8330, and I will get you some of that information. And when you're ready, definitely. And for those of you that are already members inside of that, this weekend I will be traveling, we'll probably have a group call for the members probably on Monday or Tuesday, and then we're going to start to have some new members classes to set people up. And then for those of you that are members, try to find out as much as you possibly can, start doing more research, because it's only going to benefit you. So, okay? So if you're interested in that, give me a call, 951-790-8330. All right. Let's get into what's in the news. And it's a couple of good things. Let me see. My man, Ramon, L.A. Ramon, had posted a real good story. I don't know if L.A. Ramon is on the board. L.A. Ramon, if you wanted to say why you posted that, some of the significant things. If not, I'll do it. I don't think he's on the board. Okay. And then I know my man Roz is there on the board. So, Roz, if you wanted to pick out a couple of yours before we get into today's show, definitely do that. Today's show is, one second, it's part two. The day your world changed forever, the 96-hour margin call. Going to have everything to do about the black market once again. Want to get into some very, very significant parts, an extension from yesterday's call. So we definitely will do that after what's in the news. So my man Roz is there. Roz, what's up, bro? How you feeling?
Peace, King. How you doing?
What's going on, my brother? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good. I just chimed in not too long ago. I found out from my wife they had what they're calling a terrorist attack in Tribeca, New York. I was trying to check in on some of my people out there. Some dude with a truck ran over like 8 people. They said the cop shot him in the stomach. This just happened not too long ago. So, I just was looking into it briefly. I need to like dig into it more, but I was just going to check in on all my folks up in the city and make sure that they're good. Also, when you were talking about silver and gold and metals in general being a living entity, that is absolutely correct. The earth itself is an organism. It classifies as an organism. It has, you know, different systems that perform different functions to keep the planet healthy and alive, just like we have the same things. We mirror the planet. And in Kemetic culture, our ancestors would call silver the bones of Ra. And the gold
sure
would call the skin of Ra. Those were the two terms that it was known as, was the bones and the skin of Ra. Now, silver just being the foundation that it is in regards to keeping people healthy. Also, it helps to rebuild bone tissue in ways that are just miraculous. So all of these things our ancestors said make perfect sense. Gold mirrors the properties of our skin, our melanated skin. that's why they called it the skin of Ra. So yeah, I agree with you emphatically on that.
You know, and when you really think about that, yes, the old saying that the ancients used to say that gold is the skin of the gods and silver is the skeleton of the gods and of Ra. Now you think about that. The skin is very, very important. It's the largest organ in the human body, but that human body has no form, no structure, without what? The skeleton. The actual skeleton of it all allows for everything to do what? To function properly and to be erect and to be in position to do what it needs to do. So that tells you, you know, the strength of the body is the what? The skeleton. It holds everything in the place. So that shows the importance of silver. Most people think that gold is the most valuable precious metal, but actually it's silver. That overall living entity of silver is more valuable than all of the precious metals combined. And, you know, these are some of the things that the system doesn't want. But I didn't want to get into that big rise. But go ahead, brother.
No problem. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on some of these. I posted a lot of good stuff in there. So if anybody, I think everybody should just check out the whole press. So did you. Ramon did as well. I'm just trying to get to some of them.
Mm-hmm.
First, I wanted to just talk about Trump and all of these people around him getting indicted, and they're moving towards trying to indict and impeach him as well. That's what I see the collective movement is, because it seems like he's a little bit rogue from the program that the more powerful people want to move forward with. So as these people around him fall apart, he's turning on them publicly. So one of the articles I put out there was one that was from AP News, and it was titled "With First Charges, Mueller Sends Warning to Trump Aides." And basically, he's turning on him. There was an article where he came out and said something negative about Mueller, and there's another guy that's closely associated with him. I'm trying to remember his name. It's a young aide. It's an aide that was involved in his election campaign, and Trump called him a liar and something else. So he's starting to turn on the people that were close to him to help him get in office, but that's how it is. There's no honor amongst criminals. So let's see this unfold. You know, I'm going to get my popcorn, but one thing I will say is I don't think anybody wants Pence in office, because Pence is to Trump what George Bush was to Ronald Reagan. He's the real guy pulling the strings for the more powerful people. And his mindset is so archaic and so fascist that we're going to see things take an even crazier turn if he gets involved, especially when it comes to, because he's very much a right-wing Christian, so especially when it comes to women's rights over their bodies, abortion, things like that, it's going to be major, and it's way beyond that, the scope of that, but that's just one of those things I'll toss out there as food for thought.
You know, what? One of the things that I always see that dude is, see, it was all, everything as we know is a stage. It was set up for the selection of Trump was just that. And then they had, you know, that guy there, because he serves a role too as a celebrity figurehead, which is, you know, he's also like a LBJ to me.
Yes.
Very much so, like a LBJ. And this is the role that's being, you know, played out. And believe me, they're going to play it all the way. But I would say don't be fooled by it all. It's all a stage. And you can see the performance. We've seen this act before, because that's all they do is act. And I would say to you, always be careful of people on camera, because everybody in front of a camera is an actor. Okay, you're seeing this stuff come out in Hollywood about all of this other stuff that does go on majorly. But why is it coming out now? There is no sincere reason why it's coming out now. It's a purpose. It's a purpose why it's coming out now, and it's going to serve the overall agenda. So remember, anytime you have actors, you have professional liars. That's all they are, professional liars. That's what they do. That's why they have the roles that they have. This is why they can play this role and that role, because they perfected the art of lying. And then they'll tell you that it's an art that they're doing. It's theater. It's an art. No. They're professional liars. Watch them cry on cue.
Literally.
Watch them laugh on cue while they're crying. do you see the mental illness in it all? And then we call them the stars, and the people actually have a form of idolatry and worship them in so many different ways. That's because they've taught you to become professional liars as well. They taught all of us to become professional liars. Very, very critical, and it's very deep. See, the system does not ever, ever take anything for granted. It uses leverage to as much as it possibly can. Very difficult, very, very, you know, these are things, the part of the truth that we need to really look at. But go ahead, Roz.
No problem. And just to piggyback off of what you said, I just will throw this out there when it comes to Harvey Weinstein. We've talked about this on the cows a billion times, how this system will hold information about a person that is completely derogatory, yep, detrimental, or criminal, and they'll wait till the most opportune time to release that, yep, information when it's best for them, just like you said. And with Weinstein in particular, I just noticed the timing of this came right after the Khalif Browder documentary. I think he went too far as putting out great counter-racist material, and he had really angered people way higher up on the food chain, and they had to get him out of there. Because I remember at the end of that series, him and Jay-Z had a round table with a bunch of people in the studio, and they were talking about the fact that they had a bunch more basically counter-racist material in the works, dealing with different people who were wronged by the system and things of that nature, put into slavery. And I just think that they were like, there's no way that you don't understand this system well enough to know that that is the most taboo no-no ever. So we're going to shut you down ASAP, and boom, they got everybody and their mother, even, you know, the dog under the couch to say Harvey Weinstein raped them. So it's going to come.
Roz, mm-hmm, that's exact, in my opinion, that is very plausible. And I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but the likelihood of it is, because this is what the system does. Why did Kennedy get killed? Because he came up through the system, made his deal with the devil, then all of a sudden, being a knight of Columbian, he had an awakening and said, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. This is where he started to change his overall speech. And once he started to change his speech, they said, this fool really thinks he president?
Hey, Dave, did
Who
you see
did
the
that?
Report that just came out?
Yes, go ahead.
Did you just see the report that just came out from them files that were released that Kennedy was in secret talks with Castro? Peace talks. Peace talks. They were talking peace behind, through back channels.
Yep.
And that's why years ago I had heard that Cuban dissidents, them little racist Cubans that live in Florida, I had read that they were a part of the assassination of JFK.
Yes.
Now with that coming out,
yes,
that just gives more credence to me believing that the Cuban dissidents and the CIA was behind the assassination of Kennedy because he was going to make peace with Castro.
Scotty, we go ahead, Raj. I'm gonna let you respond. Go ahead.
Dave, you say this all the time. You know, be careful what you say because you let people know what you think, and that's what he did. He let them know where his train of thought was going. They did a great psychoanalysis on him and said, "Oh no, he gotta go." And that was that. And I agree with Scotty. There's a couple other things I think behind that too, but that would definitely be a major, major thing because he was taking a antithetical approach to the way the system wanted to go in reference to Cuba and the entire Caribbean at that time. So I agree emphatically with that. But go ahead, Dave.
You know, and I'm going to just add on to this. They got there on camera for a reason. Then they decided something changed in them. You can also almost always see it. I'm going to give you some individuals. You're going to get mad at me, but that's going to be okay. The truth stands alone. Okay, same thing happened to Malcolm, same thing happened to Martin. There was a change in them, and they said, no, I can't be a part of this anymore. I see what you're really doing. Now I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And when that happened, they got a visit. They were visited.
Malcolm recorded his.
Malcolm recorded his. We played it on here four times since we've been on air. And if you really listen to what it was, remember, and I was talking about this with my man Roz. We were talking, and I said, man, remember, the KKK was always at certain meetings while he was
spokesperson.
What was Malcolm's position?
He was basically the main recruiter and spokesperson.
The spokesman, right. How many Savior Days did you see that the overall KKK was there? Who's the KKK? How did they come about? They were a clandestine organization that was a part of the intelligence community, and they still are to this day in so many different ways.
That's why
From
they
Black
refuse
Lives
to
Matter
call them
to everything else.
That's they why they refuse are. To call them still. Terrorists, because they are government assets. That's- And Dave, I ain't never had a conversation. You can verify with people. I ain't never had no conversation with you about Malcolm and Martin's assassination. But I will just, I've said the same things that you just said. As long as Malcolm, if he had stayed part of the Nation of Islam and was and just kept saying that white people are the devil and you know, all that type of stuff, he'd have been fine. He was serving the role of the government with that type of public language and what have you. But soon as he started his own organization and he said, I'll work with anybody that's trying to change this miserable condition on this earth, I don't care what color you are, then the dude gets assassinated. All right. Martin Luther King Jr. I heard somebody, they wasn't doing it on purpose. They were doing it out of ignorance, I'm assuming. They just didn't know. But, you know, this person last night, I was listening to a broadcast, and they were saying that, oh, Martin Luther King, that he just didn't get it, and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. But I was, and then they talked about, I forget the reason they said he was killed. And I said, you know what? The reason he was killed was because he talked about how the U.S. government would take these peasants from Europe and give them free land, give them loans and stuff to learn how to farm, give them loans to buy the equipment, send them to school, and you ain't doing none of this for the people that you have built this nation on their backs by stealing their labor. And he said, when we come to Washington, D.C. this time, we're coming to get our checks. Bam, he did.
Man, Scott, Roz, did you want to jump in on that?
Yes.
Before we go any further?
I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. I would tell everybody, read a book called The Judas Factor by Carl Evans.
The Judas Factor. The Plot to Kill Malcolm.
The Plot to Kill Malcolm X. In there, they detail the information and release FOIA documents in regards to Malcolm, Martin. They talk about Patrice Lumumba, Che Guevara, over 306 attempts on Castro. And in there, what they talk about as well is the fact that when Malcolm and Martin finally got together, Malcolm was able to explain to Martin his approach and the fact that this was a human rights struggle, not a civil rights struggle, because a civil rights struggle would keep everything localized to the United States when this was a global issue. And he was planning to, along with a major amount of countries from Asia, the Caribbean, the African continent, he was going to file lawsuits against the U.S. government and all of the European powers for crimes against humanity. And he had gotten Martin on board with that. And at that time, the FBI was basically saying that half of the country was held, you know, in the palm of Martin, and the violent half, or the half that were considered insurgents, were held in the palm of Malcolm. So for these two to get together and do what they were planning to do, it couldn't happen. So Malcolm was off first, and then King down the road, they knew that he was also on the same path as well. His language started to change, just like you and Scotty were saying. There's a great article. It was a college thesis by a brother named Manu Ampem, and it's called The Revolutionary Martin Luther King. And he gives direct quotes from Martin that'll blow people's minds in regards to what he felt about this system towards the end of his life. And he also discussed that he felt that integration was a sinking ship that he had gotten black people on. And this was his own words. So his whole consciousness was shifted when him and Malcolm were able to come to terms with one another and understand that they were fighting the same people. They were taking a united, independent approach. And the system was not trying to hear that. And he went first. And then, of course, Martin had to go after for that reason, as well as the reasons elucidated by you and Scotty. Go ahead, my brother. Man, stop dropping it.
And it's important because this is the 96-hour margin call. Very, very important about that whole thing is that one of the things about being gang-affiliated is that once you go in, you can't come out because you say, I retire, I'm gonna do something different. No, because they paid you to have the overall influence to serve their purpose. So a couple of good things, and the Judas Factor by Carl Evans is with two Z's. Definitely suggest that you read that. It's really not really so much about Malcolm X. It shows the extent, and it was a well-written book about how in-depth the clandestine organization was within. One of the only people that I always thought was never, ever a part of it all was Fred Hampton, the commissioner out of Chicago. That's why that young brother at 19 didn't get to go very far. Real people don't see 40. The other ones that you see, that's because they've been on this retirement program. They always did what they were supposed to do. I want to just say this real quickly. I don't know how much time. Let me see what we got on time. Okay, we're good. I want to just say this because it's critical. And the show is going to go in a little different direction, but it's still on the same line. I want to come back to this real quick, but I want Roz to do what's in, you know, what he had in what's in the news, and I'm not going to do what's in the news because I want to get to this because it is a part of today's show, and it's very critical that we start realizing what we're really, really up against. And once you do that, you realize that it's not very powerful. It's extremely weak. But the thing is that we have to make sure that we aren't being channeled into an ambush. And we continue to be ambushed by it all. So, Roz, we're gonna pick up on this. Go ahead and do what's in the news. Want to jump back in anytime or anybody else wants to get in, give us a call, 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. Now, I am not saying that everyone in any of these organizations are completely complicit in what the overall agenda is. One of the things that the agenda is very smart about is that what they will do is that they will have an agenda and influence that agenda unbeknownst to other people, and they get tricked by it, and they get deceived by it. They think that it's one, and it's not just that. There have been some very, very meaningful, organizations, but I will tell you this. If the system has infiltrated, it has to come in a very deceptive, quiet, secret way. And when that happens, it's difficult for you to do what? Build up your immunity. So, but go ahead, Ross.
No problem, man. You just dropped it on Fred Hampton, too, because he was murdered in bed next to his pregnant wife, shot like an animal while he was sleeping. So that's to show you the levels they will stoop to. And I'll just tell people, study Patrice Lumumba. They wanted to kill him so bad, they tried to kill him in the afterlife. They literally like put his body in acid, put his bones in fire,
and chopped him up and every and exactly.
So people got to understand how real this is. So let me continue too. So one of the other articles I posted was from EcoWatch.com. Tyson Foods linked to the largest toxic dead zone in U.S. history. So I'm going to read the little blurb. What comes to mind when you think of Tyson Foods? A chicken nugget? A big red logo? How about the largest toxic dead zone in U.S. history? It turns out the meat industry and corporate giants like Tyson Foods are directly linked to this environmental catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico and many others. That is a must read so people understand, especially people who live in those areas. If they're finding that, you know, the fishermen can't get to seafood or, you know, wildlife is dead, then this will help you understand the organized history of that. And I'll just take it back as far as the buffalo. I posted an article in BTR community yesterday when they were discussing when white people came to America, they were telling their soldiers to kill as many buffaloes as possible. For each buffalo you kill, that's an Indian gone. That's the quote that they put. And what they did was they replaced the buffalo with the cow. The cow is the worst thing that happened to this land over here because they would out-eat the buffalo as well, beyond just the white people going off and wholesale killing them. They would also out-eat them, and they would eat the grass so low to a point that the buffalo couldn't eat, because different animals eat grass at different heights because they're able to get nutrients from those plants based on how high they are. And that was one of the most wholesale acts of warfare that seems innocuous, was the building of the cattle industry in the United States. I just have to say that because it was a direct affront to the indigenous people that were here that used to hunt the buffalo and built their culture around reverence for the buffalo, because it facilitated their survival in this hemisphere for millions of years. So now, that's what I wanted to drop. Next one is EcoWatch as well. Arsenic and other toxins found in 80% of baby formulas. So people who choose to feed their babies Gerber and all of that stuff, you're giving them poison on tap. So just be very, very wary of what you're feeding your children. Hopefully you'll be feeding them more natural things that are not bottled up and processed, because they're trying to kill your children. Like Bob Marley said, you know, kill the seeds before they grow. That's what they're doing pretty much. Next one is, let me see, where is it? Okay, this one is for Rico.net. They're saying Facebook will tell Congress that Russia-linked content reached 126 Americans. So they're talking about this whole idea for of their influence over the elections and how they infiltrated the Facebook system to reach 126 Americans and influence their decisions. They're basically saying. Lastly, let me see. There's one more. Oh, I'm just going to tap this because Scotty talks about this regularly. This one is from Axios.com. Half of all internet traffic comes from bots. So half of the traffic you see online is not people. It's actually so-called artificial intelligence or algorithms that are actually making these moves online, and people are thinking it's people. I talked about it yesterday. There was an article that said that now, due to the complexity of these algorithms, it's becoming harder to tell who's a human online and who is actually a bot or some form of artificial intelligence. So it's going to get worse, people. Thank you for the opportunity. Dave, I'm sorry if I derailed the show, but you guys are coming with it today.
Never derailed the show. Okay. No, you did not derail the show. It's right in line with our show today. Today is part two, The Day Your World Changed Forever, the 96-hour margin call. And it's going to look at a glimpse in the black market. So, no, absolutely not, Rod.
That's probably later possible, okay, brother?
Okay. Definitely, right, definitely. Okay. Peace and love. Definitely. Now, I'm not going to do my what's in the news, but my man L.A. Ramon, I don't know if L.A. Ramon can unmute himself real quick. He put in a great article, and if he's not going to be able to do it, I'll do it so that he can just say the reason why he shared that, because it was really, really good, and it's one that's been dear to me from the beginning. Give Ramon a chance if he can unmute himself. If not, I'll take that as a – if you can't unmute yourself, L.A. Ramon, that's okay. But very, very significant. I remember a while back in 2014, 2015, in 15. There was a big thing that they wanted to they try to pass, like they're having more equal rights within the military, and they're having more parity with all people, and they were saying how great of a civil rights opportunity this was, where they said this, that they wanted to give women the opportunity to be line officers and actually become the a full general in the military. In order to become they could be a major a one-star general, but in order for them to be a four-star general or to be the overall chief of staff or the chief or the major general in charge of NATO or any different, you got to be able to, you have had to been in line command for combat troops to do that. So they said, well, you know what? Women are equal to this, so we want to give them that opportunity. And there was a bunch of black folks that was praising that, saying that that was the best thing. That's because they think that civil rights is so relevant, and it's actually the overall destruction of us all. Women were praising this as well, not realizing what the overall poison pill of this was. There were different other people that were praising this and thinking that this was a great, great thing. Let me tell you something. The system never gives you anything. It only takes everything away. And I knew immediately once they said that their intentions was to draft our daughters. And so, oh, there's L.A. Ramon. So, 1 second, Ramon. We'll go to you real quick. And we were the first, before it was even noticed by anybody else, we was the first ones to notice this and say, hey, this is what their intentions were. And this was not even the whisper that they were going to be doing it. We said they're going to do it. 1 year later, they said, oh, well, maybe we're going to start drafting women. Boom. Knew it was it. This is the system, how it always works. But go ahead, Ramon. You posted a great, great article. Thank you for doing that. Go ahead, brother.
Are you talking about the one that I ain't going to lie, close to the quite a few of them. So are you talking about the one with the conscript of the drafting of the women?
Yes, from the Washington Times.
Oh, yeah, man. That one right there, if you even read the article, it gives away a lot more than I can even tell you. One thing that I liked about it, that they actually went into – I mean, they actually confessed that, the fact that they downsized the male population intentionally to make way for the female conscript. I was like, man, they actually are dropping some, they letting it out. You know, this is really straightforward. So,
they're really telling it.
I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of morsels in there. I'm serious. If you read that article, you'd be like, from the minute you start reading it, you'd be like, wow, I can't even believe they're writing this.
Exactly, Ramon. Ramon can't see it. I'm gonna read what he posted. He gave the editorial. He says, America must know. This is the editorial that Ramon posted. America must say no to drafting women from the Washington Times. And this is what Ramon captured from that. Let me just open this up real quick so I can read it before we go to commercial break. Here it is. A benefit of universal registration. The study argues that the supply of fodder for war would grow dramatically. Did you hear what they just said right there? The supply of fodder. Do you know what fodder is? Commonly known as cannon fodder. Meaning you just catch bullets. It's a depopulation program that's telling you that. It goes on. A broader and deeper registration pool, registrant pool would enhance the ability of this selective service system. Selective service. What does that mean? They're selecting who is going to what? Be a part of the depopulation program known as war. They tell you everything. To provide manpower to the Defense Department in accordance with its force needs. This is particularly important because the future wars must have requirements for skills in non-combat fields, in which the percentage of individuals qualified would not be as variable by gender. And Ramon put translation into plain English. Sometimes in the future, there may not be enough men to go around. I don't know if that was a quote from L.A. Ramon made that quote. Hold on, Ramon. We're going to go to a commercial break and come right back to you because we got to take this commercial break and come right back to you. And I just want you to emphasize why you thought that was so necessary, and I'm glad you posted it. Listen, everyone, you're listening to the Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and we will come, we will go to you, and we will continue the show. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
To the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. We're going to go to Ramon here in 1 second. We got two callers in queue. We're going to go to them after Ramon, but I want to go to Ramon now for his great article that he placed that's so, so important. And I, you know, Ramon has been on this since we, you know, first, you know, started talking about this, and every time it comes up, Ramon definitely always, you know, posts something about this because it, the overall relevance importance of it is the obvious. So go ahead, Ramon.
Okay, Dave. Can I be heard?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Okay. I think one of the things that really drew me into that article a lot, or some that was they unveiled how they created the atmosphere during the Obama administration to create a transgender movement. So a lot of that reason why they created that movement was to make way for the women to come in. Once they were able to get this, the slight and the bias off of women going to war by using the whole, you know, transgender movement and stuff, they knew then if we allow this one in, we ultimately open up the door that we can argue on the government's behalf to recruit women to go to war. Because, like I said,
go ahead, Ramon
article,
just said. Go ahead, Ramon. I just couldn't let that pass. Absolutely right. Yeah. There's a reason for everything. It's a setup. Go ahead, Ramon.
And they talk about how, I mean, if you really read in that article, there's a part where they say all the American men, emphasis on the American men, you know, has been downsized, or actually they said have been lost to casualties of war. That made me think a lot about it, you know what I'm saying? Considering the fact that we can think about all the men that are sitting up in prison right now, that would, you know, that particularly in the past we would have used the draft as a way of getting nonviolent men to say go to war or stay in prison. That they ain't leaning on that no more. They're telling you, no, we're going to keep our surplus of slaves, and we're also going to settle for going to war without really having men. We're putting women on the front line. That's who's going to war. That's what I got out of it. Thanks, Dave.
You know what, man? Well said, Ramon. I want to say one of the things is that the casualties of war are those that are in prison because they are captive by a warring corporation. And those individuals were at war with the corporation because they set out to defy the rules that they had set, which were malevolent in its overall agenda at all. They're captured by war. They're prisoners of war, just as everyone here that is. Remember one of the things that was said in was said that you will be homeless on the land that your forefathers conquered. Conquering is an act of robbery by force and by fear. So Man, great article, Ramon. Thank you, as always, brother. Very, very significant. Now we got a couple of people in queue. I got the order real quick, so we're going to go. We got two people out of NYC, then we got my man, Brother Braggs. We'll go to them, then we're going to get into today's show. And the first caller out of NYC is going to be the area code 347. Then we're going to go to the 646 area code. So area code 347 out of NYC, you're on Tando Radio Show. What is your name, and what is your question or comment?
And him?
Yeah.
Peace. What's going on, Brother Dave? How's it going, Thomas?
Brother T, what's up, Thomas? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm alive, brother. I just wanted to say, this, what you guys were just talking about, in my opinion, I just tie it all into that BIE report. And ever since, you know, they've been looking for the quote-unquote Black Messiah. And I think that they're not excluding women. Now, they've been attacking Black women since they created this ISIS. And funny that ISIS was the Black goddess. But from Lanisha McBride to Sandra Bland to Corinne Gaines, it's just been a constant attack on Black women. They always attack Black men, so that's you know, secondary. But the attack on our women... Also, now they want to send our daughters to war. I just think that just trying to really attack Black people by going after the female now in a way they never went after them before. It was usually just sexually they went after them, sexually terrorizing Black women. But this is on another level. And it's all programming. They just had this so-called terrorist attack here in New York. They just released a guy's name. When I looked up the last name, Sheikhoun or something like that, it appears to be like an Arab or someone that fits that look, last name. So this is definitely something they're classifying as a terrorist attack. I would just contest that this could be something that's real or it could be a false flag. You never know. And the crisis actors here in New York are Oscar worthy, but if you were going to attack people on Halloween, why wouldn't you just wait a little while and really get some people in? I mean, like, it just doesn't seem logical to me. You're gonna go run out over a bike route as opposed to go hit a whole bunch of people just walking around in their costumes, because you know they have all kinds of crazy stuff that they do on Halloween here. So it just seems like it was something to divert from something else. Lastly, I love the piece that you guys were talking about, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and JFK. I just was recently looking up JFK. I don't know why it started hitting me. But in my looking up, in particular, the Harriman family, I don't know if you're familiar with them, Dave Harriman.
Yep.
That last name. Mm-hmm. The people, yep, who pretty much owned the railroads or controlled,
yep,
the railroads, and just realizing how rich this dude was. And this is the Bush family today, the Harriman family that they call Bushes today. One guy, I mean, he leaves 40,000 acres. 47,000 acres of land, the Hudson Highlands. He owns the whole thing. He left that just for a state park. Like, that's just how much, you know, the money and land and stuff they own. But just looking them up, I find that George Bush, the one who became the first George Bush president, he was in charge of the CIA in Cuba.
Yes, he was
at the time of JFK's assassination. And
yep.
There are people with power to do it. And I only brought that up because you always say control is everything. And when you look at someone like J.P. Morgan, which has, you know, control of $2 trillion in assets, the Harriman Brothers Bank, the Harriman Brown Brothers Bank, control $4.7 trillion in assets. And I'll mute my line.
Yeah, and that is critical. Well said. Well said. As far as the overall events of today, you knew it was going to be coming, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be coming in more frequently, and its overall depth of it all is going to be much, much deeper. This is just the start, because that's what this system needs. Well said, Thomas. Yes, very familiar with that overall lineage and who they were and the overall involvement from Tesla with the Bush family to Prescott Bush cooperation in being the Nazi banker. A lot of people don't know that that there was a direct line to Tesla from that family as well, even up until the actual murder in the New York hotel. So very, very, very relevant. So check out, you know, do some of the research there, and you'll see all of the connections. It's not a coincidence. It is actively a conspiracy agenda. And just from Nixon was, you know, look at the affiliation to the Nazi parties that's there, and the affiliation of where they met at. There was a decision that was made for the assassination of JFK, and the real reason that I believe is because of the speech that he gave at the Waldorf Astoria, known as the President and the Press. That's when they said, had enough of this dude. He thinks he's really in charge. And so that's where, and the thing was that he controlled or he had access to shaping and giving information to the general population. Whenever you're trying to wake up the general population from doing something other than the propaganda is set forth, they don't want you around no more. See, they'll never put me on TV because I will never accept that. They'll never put certain people on because that's not how they resonate. In order to get on those type of platforms, you have to slowly start to submit. You got to slowly start to submit. And I'm going to just say this real quick, then we'll go to the other callers. I was was in Washington, D.C., and was going to go on RT Today, Russia Today, on an interview. And I knew as I was like, Dave, don't do it, because this is how it all starts. Don't do it. So I was there. I was there with David Anderson, and they were going to, was going to put us on air to give our commentary on some things. And this was at the headquarters in Washington, D.C. for RT, Russia Today. And I knew I wasn't going to do it, but I was thinking, now, how am I going to get out of this? So this is how I got out of it. We went in, and they wanted to put makeup on. They said, hey, we need to put make. You guys need to go to makeup. I went back there with them, and they says, okay, we're going to put makeup on. And I stood right where I was. I said, nah, I don't do makeup. They said, well, no, you got to put on makeup to go on air. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. I don't do makeup. And I knew by me not doing makeup, they wouldn't let me on. They said, well, you can't go on. I said, okay, no problem. The other dude that I was with, man, he let them put it all over him and everything else. First thing I said to him, I said, yep, they made you up to ask how they want you to look. That's why it's makeup. See, when you start to indulge in those types of things, they know they got you. Then they're going to come subtly from this and from this and from this and from this way and this way. And before you know it, you'll get a visit saying, this is what we want you to do now. We recognize your talent. You're very good. We like, and they're going to get you at, because they're going to do a psychological profile on you, and they're going to see what your interests are by what you talk about and what really, really, how you resonate, and they're going to bring the sweet taste of compromise to you. You're going to taste it and say, yep, this is nice, and it's still poison. So the system knows what it's doing. Very, very shrewd. Very shrewd. We got another caller in queue. Then we're going to go to Brother Braggs. We got a caller out of 646 area code. Welcome to Tando Radio Radio Show. Caller 646 area code. What is your name, and what is your question or comment? 646? Area code 646 out of NYC. Okay. All right, so they're there. 646, one more time. Going once. Area code 646, and the prefix is 97. Okay, so we're going to go to my man, Brother Braggs, then. Brother Bragg, what say you? Welcome, brother.
Peace, man. Back to the topic of Martin and Malcolm, man. You know, Martin and Malcolm both got killed when they started saying one thing. Martin was saying we were going to Washington to get our money because they were taking our stuff from in our own land. Malcolm also came back, and when he came back from Africa dealing with the African brothers, he came back telling, you are the aboriginal person of this land. When they started talking like that, they were taken out. Now, on the other part of that, even Martin Luther King's mother was killed by the government. Did you know that?
Yeah, sure did.
Kind of deep, man. But now, back to the Bush family. The Central Intelligence Agency. It was, I'm going to read this verbatim. The Central Intelligence Agency was formed in 1947 and supplanted the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which had served the United States during World War II. The agency was designed to gather intelligence, which meant stealing the Soviet Union's secrets and to counteract the plots of Soviet spies. It was the time of the Cold War, and the Iron Curtain brainwashing techniques, insidious communist propaganda, and the Soviet leaders' threat that they would bury us. The CIA statement of purpose and mission is designed to inspire confidence in the integrity and the righteousness of the agency. Our vision to be the keystone of the U.S. intelligence community that is preeminent in the world, known for both the high quality of our work and the excellence of our people. Our mission, conducting counterintelligence activities, special activities, and other functions related to foreign intelligence and national security, as directed by the President, how do we do our work? Accepting accountability for our actions, continuous improvement in all we do. Conspiracy theories aren't buying any of the flag-waving, high-minded statements of the CIA's vision and mission, according to whistleblowers within the government elsewhere. Ever since the early 1950s, the U.S. government has funneled hundreds of billions of dollars through the agency to fund the nation's war, black operations, secret military projects. This is the dark underbelly of the shadow government. The only way the secret programs can obtain the funding they require without creating a national budget shortfall that would rouse public outcries and engage in illicit operations. A good part of the reason that our government fought in Southeast Asia, defeated the Taliban in Afghanistan, and invaded Panama to oust Manuel Noriega was to protect the substantial interest in the drug trade in these areas, from which the CIA extracts hundreds of billions of dollars a year that is spent on secret programs. The CIA is involved in drug operations in the Golden Triangle and Crescent in the Southeast Asia and Asia Minor in countries south of the U.S. border, such as Panama and Colombia. The rogue portion of the CIA stays just under the radar. It's ostensibly carrying out these programs to protect America's prosperity and strength. Conspiracy theorists are aware that the U.S. government through the CIA has manipulated and controlled many foreign governments for decades. It's often assassinated or disenfranchised foreign leaders of sovereign nations and installed puppet governments friendly to our interests. The CIA has also conducted secret chemical and biological experiments on the American public for 50 years, injecting individuals, spraying areas of cities, infecting unsuspecting citizens. As many as 500,000 people have served as guinea pigs for the government without their knowledge. Soldiers, minorities, drug addicts, prison population, homosexuals, and the entire population of major U.S. cities have been wantonly used without their consent. Since 1998, conspiracy theorists have accused the secret government of spraying chemicals across U.S. skies, permitting unidentified chemicals to fall on the population. Perhaps the most consistently named black project on the CIA rogue elements was the Pentagon, together with the members of Mafia and the anti-Castro Cubans, is the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, who was planning to shut down the Vietnam War and deploy the CIA. Conspiracy theorists have a long list of other nefarious projects and dark dealings that they would believe rogue elements within the CIA conducted, arranged, helped plan, or at least had prior knowledge of. The evil enterprise most persistently named by conspiracy theorists include the following: the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, the assassination of most Black Panther leadership, the attempted assassination of George Wallace, extensive domestic surveillance, U.S. citizens, control of opium shipments and layovers in Vietnam, allowing mass murders of thousands in Vietnam and Indonesia, igniting revolutionaries and wars in small nations around the globe, Iran, Contra, the clandestine army of Iraq and its wars against Iran, billions of dollars ripped off from savings and loans, hundreds of thousands of murders committed by death squad acting as U.S. props. And I'm not going to read them anymore. That's enough. Just get to the point. these boys got their finger on everything, the finger on the pulse.
Yep.
And the Bush family, they go so back in this thing, man, from Prescott Bush to the Bushes, to the Bush brother that was in Florida when they stole the election. These boys have been in it to win it.
Yep, and control of resources is one of the things that they did in doing that with the petroleum companies and everything else. And Scotty had said that it was his father that was killed by the Klan, and then they put his mother in the crazy house. And let me tell you something about the insane asylums. Those are the institutions of the clandestine operations. That's why they sent Kanye West there. That's why they sent this person there. This is what, because that's where they do a lot of their overall experiments from there. And those there, to me, the overall those type of institutions are heavily, heavily under the influence of the central, the clandestine operative units. And one of the things about that, talked about Martin's mom. One of the things that a lot of people may not know about Dr. King was that he was a massive depressant. And this is why in their letters, they used to send letters to him, and they would tell him they would disclose who he really is, because there were some very embarrassing things that they knew about him, and they knew that he was subject to depression. And it was actually a couple of times that he actually attempted to commit suicide. And they knew that that was a button that they could push with him. They knew that that was a button that they can push with him. That's why in the letters from Jeff, from Hoover to him, and from the FBI, and the letters that he was in, they emphasized, you know what to do. It was all a setup. They knew. They knew who they had. And one of the things that they do is that they find out different things about you, and they try to use that against you or to trap you. And then to blackmail you into you, and as long as you're going to facilitate their agenda, everything will be fine. This is why they have extensive portfolios on all of the actors. And what was that dude named Chapo? Chapo made a fatal mistake. He got the fame fever. And he's telling, we're going to do a movie about you because you're so great. We're going to send this guy, Sean Penn is going to play you. Well, let me tell you something about actors. The professional lying side of them is highly sought after by the clandestine community. Why? Because they get access that no one else gets. People around the world marvel at them and everything else. Louis Armstrong told you. He was a CIA operative. Julia Childs, MI6. It's just what this breeds. They don't put movies together glorifying the clandestine operations such as James Bond and what's that, Bourne? Jason Bourne or whatever. They don't do. If you look at it, they always glorify that overall organizations, that their overall methods and things. In Cerebrally Naive Network, they always have some form of a former central intelligence analyst on their show. Why? Because that's who they are. There is no such thing as a former. You don't get to go in and work for them, and then all of a sudden now you want to go. Once you in, now you can't leave.
Dave, you know Anderson Cooper is former CIA, and that's, they not even trying to hide that.
Oh. No. That's how you get on Cerebrally Naive Network. Yeah, exactly. That's how you get there. The Central Network for the Numb. And you know their overall family, research the family. And one of the things, and you remember, when Jesse Jackson, someone said, David, hold on one second. You remember when Jesse Jackson Jr. was on trial for the overall, had to do with the overall election stuff out of Chicago and everything else when the celebrity figurehead Obama was selected? as the CEO. Remember when Jesse Jackson Jr. was on trial? What came out in his trial? What came out in his trial? That he had been working for the CIA in the clandestine operation since he was a child. How do you do that? Because it's nepotism, ladies and gentlemen. It's nepotism. Once you get into that arena, now your family is in that arena now, because you can't leave. So think about that for a minute. Uh-oh. Okay, if he came in as a young man, how did he get in? Who's in his family? Oh, his father. What's the significance of his father? Significance of his father is, oh, man, he was in Memphis when King told you the night before. He wasn't prophesying that his death was about to happen. He knew it was. It's kind of like when you hear people talk about prophecy from the good book. No, it's not prophecy when they've already written the overall directions for it to happen. That ain't prophecy. They're just playing out the rules of the book. The instructions have already been given. That's not prophecy. King's last speech was not prophecy. He was telling you they're going to get me. Why did he tell you he was going to get them? Because he was telling you that because he knew that they was going to get him, and he knew who on in his organization was a part of it. Because those are the ones that told him, do not get away from the civil rights movement, because that's what they want us to do. Why are we getting away from this? Why are we getting away from this? Because he would start moving on the poor people's movement. Then he talked about how America is not what it says to be. The great creator does not look on America with any kind of favor. And he was talking about the reason why he don't support the Vietnam War from Riverside Church, roughly about a year before he was killed. That's when they said, uh-oh, he done gone rogue. So they tried to push the crazy button with him, and that wouldn't work. It was strong, but he resisted it. And his overall depression was so great, he sometimes wouldn't leave his room. And they knew they had some dirt on him. But he didn't care about the dirt that they had on him no more. He knew when he sat down with Johnson that the Civil Rights Act was the biggest fraud. And I think he was ashamed of his participation in it. Because he read it. How many of you ever read it? Other than when we talked about it here on Tando Radio Show, how many have ever read what's in the Civil Rights Act? Because if you read what it is in it, you will realize that is the worst thing ever. And it has nothing to do with being black. It has everything to do with being a part of the human species. So there were people around them that said, yo, this is what they want us to do. Why are you going against this? And he knew that there was those among them that was aiding and abetting and assisting in his overall demise. You ever wonder why? Go back and look at Martin's last speech. We're going to get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to hit this in there. Somebody that said, David, call me, I'm going to come to you. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation in this last half hour, definitely do that. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Let me just finish this real quick. Someone had called out to me. Brother Davis is there. I see you, Brother Davis, and I think Roz wanted to jump in. So let me just finish this real quick, and then I will go to you all really quickly. So I would say for you all, I remember when I made the trip, I made a trip to Memphis. And when I was there, the overall energy and the spirit that's still in that there, if you choose to be sensitive to it, that overall crime scene speaks volumes. Speaks volumes. I would say to you, find some of the videos of Martin's last speech. Listen to what he's really saying. Listen to what's really being said. He's telling you that he's got all the death threats and he got it from credible people, that he knows that they're going to do it. And then what I want you to do is I want you to read body language. Very, very important. To learn to read body language. Because sometimes people will tell you that they're lying to you by the deflection of their voice or in their body. Or people that are insincere, you'll be able to tell. And it's something when you start to do it, you'll be able to see who's who and what's what. But I would still say always wait for verification because you could be wrong. But here, very, very important. Read Martin's body language. Sooner Martin finishes this speech, he walks away from the stage, and his so-called best friend comes over because he was said to be sick. No, he was exhausted. And if you read his body language as he's giving this, he's telling that I'm exhausted now, and it's all right. I'm not afraid. I know they will. Finishes the speech, comes away from the podium. His so-called best friend comes over, Ralph Abernathy, comes over and puts his arm around him. And you know what he does? He goes limp because he knows that that's the seat of his demise. And after he was later on, Ralph came out and wrote a book, and then he started going around making book tours talking about, in an unsincere way, and you can see the venom and the poison of jealousy. And it wasn't just him. But the most important thing, read Martin's body language. It was as if Judas was giving the kiss for the 30 pieces of silver, because that's about what they got. It's no love there no longer. I realize who you are, what you're doing. Malcolm did the exact same thing. Didn't want anybody else to get hurt because Malcolm told everybody, I trained these individuals. They're getting help from somebody else. Where are they telling you? What is he telling you? He gave so many hints. That is not the nation. It's bigger than that. And they're working from within all avenues. Just as Martin went limp, Malcolm made a call. Read his body language when he makes the call, even though you can't see it because it's not recorded. But you know about the call that was made, because he knew there was another 30 pieces of silver involved. Malcolm didn't want nobody else to get hurt. Let them do what they're going to do. They're going to do it here, maybe here or somewhere else. Stay away from me. Because he knew what he was in for. Because Malcolm recorded the engagement he had with the FBI. But is that the first time the FBI went to see him? No. How do you know? Listen to the exchange. Malcolm no longer wanted to be a part of it. Didn't want to be a part of it anymore. Because you don't get to that type of position. You don't get that national and that public exposure unless you are doing what? Fulfilling the overall propaganda direction that the system wants you to do. They don't send cameras to Black Talk Radio Network. They'll send it to Black Lives Matter. They don't, because that's who they created. Anything that has exposure on mainstream media has a platform because it was created by the mainstream agenda. And then once you ever get in, and then all of a sudden, now you want to get some moral conviction and you want to get out, or you can't leave. The system is filled with ubiquitous fraud. It knows that it has mastered the art of psyops. We haven't, because we haven't resonated that way. But what happens is that overall prevailing wind, that prevailing movement, and that toxicity of it, it stains us. And we start to absorb it in our very dialect, in our very relationships, in our engagements. So I don't want to run out of time. I'm not quite sure who said, "Hey, Dave," before we go to Brother Bragg, then we'll go to, before we go to Brother Davis, we went to Brother Bragg. There's someone that said, "Hey, Dave."
That was me, Brother Davis. Ross.
Okay, go ahead, Ross.
All right, I just want to touch on something you said before I get into what I wanted to drop briefly. What you said about Minister Malcolm not wanting anyone else to get hurt is extremely accurate. I remember both Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark were very close confidants of his, and they had discussed the fact that when things heated up with Elijah Muhammad, that his good friend from the streets, Bumpy Johnson, came to him and asked him if he wanted him to take out Elijah Muhammad, and he was willing to do it, and he had, you know, the people in the streets to make it happen. And Malcolm told him he didn't want black people killing other black people. He said, you know, if that's what you're coming at me with, then I can't be a part of that. That's not, you know, what I'm about. And he, like you said, he took what was coming like a man, and he stood in and he said, okay, you know, they're gonna do it, let them do it. So I just had to put that out there so people understood that. This is something that I think will elucidate a lot of what you talked about earlier, especially when L.A. Ramon brought up the whole situation with the drafting of women soldiers. And I'm just going to read something briefly here. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. Why is it important for you to understand the subject of the Hegelian dialectic? Because it is the process by which all change is being accomplished in society today. More importantly, it is the tool that the globalists are utilizing to manipulate the minds of the average American to accept that change where ordinarily they would refuse it. The Hegelian dialectic is, in short, the critical process by which the ruling elite create a problem, anticipating in advance the reaction that the population will have to the given crisis, and thus conditioning the people that a change is needed. When the population is properly conditioned, the desired agenda of the ruling elite is presented as the solution. The solution isn't intended to solve the problem, but rather to serve as the basis for a new problem or exacerbate the existing one. When the newly inflamed difficulty reaches the boiling point of a crisis, it becomes the foundation upon which arguments may be again made for change. Hence, the process is repeated over and over, moving society toward whatever the planners have in mind. It is also important to understand that as this process is being driven, arguments are created both for and against certain measures of change. All arguments are controlled. The presented solutions, each with varying levels of adornment, are quote-unquote debated publicly by the manipulators or their minions. This is done until a perceived compromise has been reached on the best measure to take en route to solving the crisis. Then the outcome of the quote-unquote debate, which purportedly weighs the concerns of the public with the mandate to do something, is enacted as public policy. Such is the summary of the Hegelian dialectic, though few in American society have ever heard of it. Still fewer have not been profoundly impacted by its use in the effective neutralization of the opposition in the formation of public policy. So just let you know, the people who are giving you the solutions are the cause of the problem in the first place. That right. is exactly why they took Prodigy out from Mobb Deep, because his last album was titled The Hegelian Dialectic, and he started speaking truth to what was happening to melanated people in this country. I'll meet my line.
And once again, once you go into their overall organizations and you get paid by them and everything else, now you can't leave. The music industry, frequencies, they understand the importance of it. They understand the importance of it. And I will say, the key to committing a crime and getting away with it is that you clean it up before you do it. The key to committing a crime to get away with it is that you clean it up before you do it. This is the mastery that they've been working with for so long. So what I want to do real quick is I want to go to Brother Davis, who is there in queue. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show, my brother.
Good evening, my brother. It's always good to hear the voice of a friend. The show is off the hook, man. Listen, I just wanted to add a little caveat that Martin Luther King and Harry Belafonte also, too, had a close relationship. And in a private conversation, Martin Luther King has said to Harry Belafonte that he regrets that now he understands that he's integrated his people in a burning house. And he was talking about that civil rights movement in general.
That's right, Brother Davis.
I just wanted to put that out there real quick. But listen, I also wanted to give you an update on tomorrow night's show. And the reason why is because literally, I mean, I've covered a plethora of foundation for us starting to move in the area of application. So literally, tomorrow night's show is going to be on the first universal law of oneness being connected. We're going to talk about how the oneness is connected. We're going to talk about how you are connected with every organ in your body, and your organ in your body serves specific purposes. And when you are finding yourself ill, disassociating, or introverted, these are all aspects of what your body may or may not have. A stronger yin, a weak yang, or a stronger yang, or a weak yin. All of these things are part of the whole, which connects us to the oneness. It's going to be interesting to know that you have five main organs that have meridians to flow around them that literally help design your character, and you make decisions not realizing that these parts of your body take part in that decision. So I'm going to cover that tomorrow night, because literally what we're trying to do is let you understand the simplicity of self-empowerment, but it must start inside and come out. And the reason why is because once you're outside, that's external. And there's nothing, and hear me clearly, there's nothing eternal about external. Okay? Everything external, even life itself, is temporal on the external side. That's why you have seasons. They change because it's a momentum, a cyclic momentum, and there are cycles in your body. And we'll talk about some of these things tomorrow night, but I do want to do some personal diligence on the oneness and the universal law of oneness, because literally they're talking about you and what your potential is, as well as what you're capable of. All right, brother, I appreciate it. Excellent show tonight, and let me get back in the back room.
But well said, brother Davis. Well said, man. That's going to be a phenomenal show. My man Scotty said, content is everything. He said, I disagree with all that about the civil rights movements. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a human rights bill. One paragraph about that bill says it's illegal to discriminate against people based on race, age, color, creed, or sex or national origin. That is all that says. And that ain't integrated. Integrated us into nothing. And King was talking about America was declining in power worldwide and going broke. And that was what he meant by a burning house. And I would say this. The civil rights, and this is why I say that the civil rights was the worst thing for us, and King realized that it was a sham. Because when you read the Civil Rights Act, it is not of 1964. It goes back to 1871, the actual civil rights. They've been trying to institutionalize this for a very, very long time.
Well, Dave, let me bring up the Civil Rights Act of 1871, also known as the Klan Act of 1871, which right. authorized the executive branch of the U.S. government to treat the Klan like terrorists. And Ulysses S. Grant, who was the president at the time, used that bill to prosecute terrorists. That's all it said, was that these are terrorists, yep. and we're going to go after them like they terrorists. And that was, it's known as the Klan Act of 1871, also the Civil Rights Act of 1871. I'm just sharing what I read.
Yeah, no, and I know I'm gonna share what I read as well, and that's a part of it. One of the things that they do is they put inside in there the something that they want to grab everybody's attention with. But the devil in the fine print, the devil is always in the detail. And part of that overall writing, and they've been trying to do the civil rights thing for a very long time. The overall, and I will read it at another date, so you can see it for yourself. Within the Civil Rights Act, okay, under the definition, it has the word exactions. And so that every person is under exactions. An exaction is a willful wrong. That's the devil in the details. And because of that word exaction, it nullifies the contract on which the corporation was really working under. It was going to bring about a willful wrong to everybody. And how do you do that? Before you commit the crime, you clean it up before you do it. They knew what they were doing was immoral, spiritually illegal, and retrograde. And how did they have to get the rest of the world to buy into it? Because whenever you speak about the Civil Rights Act, you're thinking about something else that is not true. Its true intentions is to have an exaction on everyone, to make you pay what is not owed or what is not due, to have you under subjugation of a willful wrong. Because they have in the Civil Rights Acts that you will be subject to exactions of every kind. That's what it says. And because of that, it shows the real intention of their movement and what their direction is. That is control over ownership. And it's being prevalent to this day. And it's actually that contract is what makes the overall Constitution relevant to a very few. And before we get out of here, one of the things I want to say is that, you know, whenever you engage in a warfare, you should never ever engage your enemy at its strongest point. And I would say this system has been an enemy and an adversary. But one of the things about this system, and I will tell you, is that it always has a door to where it does not defend because it can't defend it. And too often, we don't walk through the open door that's there. We go up against the fortress wall and we lose. If you don't want to pay taxes, do you know that the system has made a way for you to be tax exempt completely? You walk through that door. If you want sovereignty, there's a door for you to walk through to have for you to walk through to be sovereign. But if you're going to do it in the way that is going to challenge and attack them at their strength of what they built up as their defenses. See, this is the thing. They built the fortress, and if you see the fortress as what you need to attack, they were waiting for you. You will lose. When there's an Achilles heel, or it's not even Achilles heel, they won't even challenge you because you know. They won't even interrupt you or delay you because they can't. It's just that powerful. And if we start to resonate in the way and we start to see that, wait a minute, what is our objective? Is our objective to fight the battle? Or is it our objective to not to be under the control and influence of the battle maker? Is our objective to be sovereign and self-determining? Or is our objective to be free with rights? And if you're going to be free with rights, that comes with what they say your rights are and what the terms and conditions of what freedom is based off what they put in their dictionary and in their law books. The Black Book of Law, the Law Dictionary. So, very, very important. So we'll do that. We got to get ready to get out of here. Roz, Brother Bragg, Thomas, L.A. Ramon, Brother Davis, Scotty, and I don't know if the person in 646 area code, if they ever wanted to sound off, or if they just had their 646, did you have a comment before you wanted to, or a comment or question? Area code 646? Okay. All right. So, everyone, is never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love and much respect. And I always say, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Brother Braggs, if you would be so kind, my good brother, to chime us out, we will all see you soon. Peace.
Peace, peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.